Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
First and 10 from the Steeler 45. Lamar in the shotgun, three receivers to the right. Here's the snap. Jackson will hand it off to Henry. Up the middle, big hole. 30, 25, down to the 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Ravens. Derrick Henry's second touchdown run of the night. Bursting up the middle for 44. And the Ravens lead 27-7.
It looked like a movie clip. Like, you know, when like, I'm Cars. Watch the movie Cars. A little bit too old to watch Cars, but anyway, for kids, I was a kid when I watched Cars, that's all I'm saying. But you know when Lightning McQueen just flashing past, and then it's like, that's how Derek looked when he was running past, and all those guys just, it looked like a movie, bro, I'm not gonna lie to you, but I'd rather be watching it than being on the opposite side of the ball, I know that.
That's a fun movie.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on The Score.
I like when Lamar gives us a little window in, because he doesn't do it that often, but every now and again, he gets a little giddy up there at the microphone, and it's wonderful to see. And even if he watched Cars last week, that's a quality movie to have as one of your favorites.
Yeah, I'm down with Cars, man. Paul Newman as the grizzled old car, the racer. That's a super fun movie.
It was wild to see, though, like Derrick Henry bust up the middle and then just outrun everyone.
Yeah, the fact that he's still got that. What do you think of the comp I made in transition that Derrick Henry is the Nolan Ryan of running backs? Keeps getting older, but stays just as fast somehow and
it's
keeps
pretty
going.
Good. Like, I'm so glad that we are at a place because the way that the market reacted to running backs and how we got to this place where people felt like it was okay to just be like, oh, running backs don't matter. No, there's a large group of running backs that are probably interchangeable. There are still a bunch of running backs that are really special. And if you get it right, whether it's one person carrying the mail or you have a nice combination, like in Detroit, they have a really nice combination of backs. In Philadelphia, it's one dude. In Baltimore, it's one dude. In Green Bay, it's one dude. But even last night, like you saw the Tampa, they have an opportunity to have a pretty special guy in their backfield. Like it's just, I'm so happy that we are in a place where running backs are not dismissed.
I agree with you because I've always loved running backs. I've loved the aesthetics of it and the uniqueness of each one, the styles of them through the years. It's super fun to think about and let your mind kind of imagine and just like remember which ones were your favorite stylistically and what backs remind you of others. And they all have their own kind of unique style, like painters, sort of. There's a thing that connects you to great running backs you've watched your whole life.
And there's something cool, too, about a running game, like, involved.
Dude, that's the thing that has been undeniable to me, kind of relearned all year long. And especially as we watch what we thought was going to be a great Bears season turn into an absolutely awful Bears season, they clearly, as we have discussed, thought that they could just put the rookie quarterback out there who's real good and let him pass to the three wideouts and let that be the identity of the offense. And then teams would respect that enough that you'd also be able to run it. And that's not how it works in this league, even at the very highest level, even with quarterbacks who end up putting up incredible numbers. Like, people don't fear Lamar, and that's why they're able to run. That running game will beat the bejesus out of you. And Lamar will create based off that run game. And, of course, eventually they work hand in hand because you fear them both.
Well, I think that he's gotten to the point now that he is feared.
No, he is. but it's way, way better with the run game. And the run game, historically there in Baltimore, has given him a chance to grow into this as well. They set up the run first and gave him a chance to grow.
And he's a significant part of it.
Yes.
And like when you add someone like Derrick Henry to the mix, it's damn near unstoppable. And I'm looking forward to see what it looks like against Buffalo. And then maybe they'll get another opportunity to get another crack at KC. I wonder if we went back and talked to David Montgomery, like at the time when he was deciding what he was going to do, with the money being equal, I'd love to know like what his, or seemingly equal, what his objection was. Like, and maybe he, from talking to the Bears, was like, they're not serious about a run game.
This is not what they want to do. It's a great point, because he and Ryan Poles have gotten close. It's a great conjecture.
But I do wonder that.
It's thoughtful.
And then you look at what's happened in Detroit, and you go, they said to him, yes, you're our guy. Now watch this. We're going to add this other guy.
Uh-huh. And there's plenty to go around for everybody, and this is our identity. And they're getting him back this week, by the way.
Yep.
Dan Campbell's psyched about that. The first drive that Baltimore ran was dominant, and the second drive was 85 yards and 13 plays. Every one of them was a running play.
They don't care.
They physically dominated the Steelers, and Todd Monken gets it. Todd Monken, like, I found myself looking at all three of the offensive coordinators who are Bears potential candidates and thinking about all three of them. Monken, I think what has happened in Baltimore has been incredibly impressive. Obviously, Henry's great and Lamar is great, but it's what they commit to and how they do it, and they just batter the hell out of you. And Monken can do some creative stuff in the past, but they beat the hell out of you. He gets it from a physicality perspective and fits into what Baltimore has done. And what his understanding is, I would like his understanding of offensive football to be the predominant understanding of offensive football in a football team like the Bears.
Well, see, that's another thing that I think is kind of cool. And I'll go back to what Dave Wannstedt was saying. I actually think that we're in a place now where there is a lot of value on the run. You are going to see people like Baker Mayfield that have 4,500 yards passing, but you're also going to see their coordinator, another guy that people are talking about as a possibility for the Bears. They're willing to run. Like, if you look at the Wunderkind coaches, those coaches are not just throw it. Like Sean McVay is not just throwing it. He's been a proponent of the run game. LaFleur hasn't done it enough in these last couple weeks.
But which overall, is crazy, because he did it all year and has done it for multiple years here.
Absolutely. Like, these coaches, they're starting. Well, I shouldn't say they're starting. I think that it's more.
It's a
noticeable
rededication. I think it's a rededication.
Yeah, that's
don't
a good
think
way
so?
To put it.
Yeah, I feel like the whole league has gotten kind of a rededication on it, and I think the Bears are taking note, and I'm taking note, and I hope that fans are taking note. And it was available in all three games. And listen to this about Josh Allen, okay? This is Tony Romo during the game referencing a story he talked about with Josh Allen.
They kept the football for a half quarter. You know, Tony, we're meeting on Friday with Josh Allen, and we said, what are your highlights for the offense this season? And he said right off the bat, first thing, Jimbo getting to 1,000 and tying O.J.'s rush touchdown record, franchise record of 16. That's where it started for him, because it really does set up everything else for the quarterback.
Everything stems from the running game, and then when you can layer the concepts and make it look like a run, and then the quarterback keeps it, then you make it look like a run, and the quarterback play actions and gets a deep play, everyone gets better, and you put teams in a bind to have a two-way defense that has to play the run, the pass, the quarterback run. It's just too much, and it all starts really with Josh Allen, but the 1-2 punch with Cook and him, you're not beating this team without something special going your way.
It's James Cook, who he calls Jimbo, apparently, but he knows. And then the way that Romo talks about it, just matter of fact, when you have the run game, then you can layer concepts and defenses have to worry about you because you're multiple. It's like, this is just a basics of NFL understanding that Shane Waldron didn't come here with for whatever reason. Drives me freaking crazy.
I think the problem with him is that he got caught behind. And I think that whether it's fans or pundits sometimes, I think that people look at some of the gaudy passing numbers and don't give the run game enough credit for setting it up.
100%.
Buffalo ran for 210 yards yesterday. Dude, I think they had 93 yards at the end of the first quarter.
Baltimore ran for 299 yards? Yeah. And look at Josh Allen's numbers on the year. Look at Lamar Jackson's numbers on the year. You look at that, and if you're just looking at the numbers, you think, well, they can just go back and throw it, and they can do that occasionally. But it's the threat of the run game. Did you hear this stat yesterday that Jalen Hurts did a straight drop back without play action for the first time all season yesterday? It's the first time he did it. They always use play action. And it's Saquon who got to 2,000 yards, man. It's like...
Yeah, they averaged 5 yards a carry yesterday. Philly
did? Mm-hmm. I mean, come on. And it would have been higher if Saquon went and took that touchdown.
It would have been a lot higher.
So, look, all around the league, and even offensive coordinators who aren't steeped in certain kinds of run game plays and run plays can adjust. This made me like Liam Cohen and made me want to learn about Liam Cohen of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, because their run game got rejuvenated during the course of the year with Bucky Irving as the guy. But it wasn't just that Bucky Irving was the guy. It's the plays they were running. Listen to Chris Collinsworth talk about Liam Cohen and the Bucs last night.
And you're going to see that particular play quite a bit. That is the counter play. And it's almost like the Buccaneers completely changed their offense. The first four games of the year, they ran that counter play four times. Since then, that play has averaged 9 yards per play. When you see offensive linemen and tight ends pulling out in front of Bucky Irving, that's what we're talking about.
Why have they made that switch as the season has gone on?
Well, what's really interesting about the whole thing is that Liam Cohen, their offensive coordinator, doesn't come from that background. Really, none of the coaches come from a background of doing all those counters and those kinds of plays. It just happened to fit this offensive line and that back. And so they stuck with it, and now they have about 6 or 7 different versions of it, and they keep getting better at it as the season goes along.
Come on, man. That is football. That's sexy football, isn't it? Because that's a coordinator who's like, oh, wait, we're good at this. All right, how do I run it? What can we do? And then goes to work figuring it out. I'm imagining the coaches' rooms when it's like, all right, anybody ever run this stuff anywhere? And they do the research and whatever. Now they have 6 or 7 versions of it and varieties because they figured out it works.
Because then you go, oh, you know what we could do? We could change, we can flip formation on this and do it to the other side if we want. Oh, we can motion this guy in and make him the lead blocker as we pull our center and guard. Like, there's all sorts of stuff that you can do. And I don't want to say football is a simple game, because it's not, and it can be very, very complicated, but it's almost as if there was a 10-year blackout for all of us, where it was just like, that's not how you play winning football. And then the coaches were like, well, since it's give and take. Like, it happens all the time. So basically what happens is that the passing offenses force the defenses to then create these kind of hybrid defenders.
Yep.
Think Brian Urlacher, who is built up like he should be somebody's defensive end, but he's playing middle linebacker.
Sure, think Troy Polamalu.
Yeah, you get these hybrids, and in some cases that ends up being you give something away. Like, well, they're an 11 personnel, so we need a Kyler Gordon type out there. And there are not a lot of Kyler Gordons. By the way, at some point, I know I keep saying this, we really do need to do like a Kyler Gordon appreciation day.
Yep.
I just think that he's a really incredible player, and we don't talk about him enough. Anyway, as I continue to not talk about Kyler Gordon, but you end up getting smaller players that are stout. You end up getting players that are willing to go in there and play the run. So then the countermeasure is, oh, I'm going to go get big offensive linemen again. And we're guys that are big and they can move a little bit.
And then we're just going to beat the hell out of you.
And so now the counter will be, there'll be some sort of like London Fletcher type linebacker that'll pop back up, and you'll say, okay, we need someone who's going to really do the dirty work as a linebacker.
I love that.
Take advantage of them in the past. Like, it's
beautiful, it's simple, organic. It's organic evolution. Totally agree. And you and I share a love for that. without a doubt. It's really interesting. And because what has happened, I think you're right, there was that 10-year period, and then Shanahan gets so much love for all the window dressing, all the stuff that dresses it up, and now a lot of people do it. LaFleur does it, and all these other guys do it, but at the heart of it, it's running right straight at you, and you have that fear and respect for coming right directly at you and being able to run through you, and then you dress it up with all this other stuff that you use occasionally, but you most often fake and just go right down the throat of people.
And when we talk to Olin about this type of thing, that's the part where I think folks like kind of got cute with it, is there is a physical and psychological toll on the defense when they are mauled by the run.
Those Steelers were toast by the end of the first quarter.
They were finished.
They were finished. They knew that they did not measure up. And what's happening in Pittsburgh is
bizarre.
It's pretty bizarre.
Speaking of which, let me throw this out because please. I think eventually it's going to become part of the overall conversation here. Do you want Mike Tomlin? Would you be willing to trade for Mike Tomlin?
It's interesting because I think there's the Steelers' comments last night that got released left it a little bit open.
How far would you be willing to go from a draft capital standpoint?
18 years, the man has never had a losing season.
You know that the floor is going to be put in.
Yeah.
The floor is going to be immaculate. You might not get that ceiling done, though.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Mike Sando wrote it this way. Tomlin's streak of 18 consecutive non-losing seasons cannot mask the erosion of real championship aspirations in Pittsburgh.
So it's kind of a similar thing of like the resume is so strong, but does that mean that that's the right person to take you into the future?
It's why, I mean, this is why Lovie got fired, is that there was belief there that Lovie was not going to get you to a championship, but was going to have really good, solid defenses. You know, and we've talked about this. So do you aspire to have that and then hope you get lucky with the quarterback? When Tomlin had Big Ben, they win Super Bowls.
And well, here you have the quarterback, you think, right?
You think.
I mean, we'll talk more about that at 5.
So you have to say the standard is the standard. It's not about the person. It's about the standard.
The standard is the standard.
Oh, see, there's a match made.
You can if you think that that's a guy that you could end up getting. If that's who you have your sights set on, and then you can take it then.
So that's unbelievable.
And he's probably going to be okay with Ryan Poles being the GM of the team.
So right now, so basically what we're talking about is the Bears. So far today, we have discussed the Bears possibly taking the former Packers coach and Cowboys coach in McCarthy. And there's a history of taking Ditka back from the Cowboys and of, you know, the Packers Bears thing goes back to, you know, Jerry Vannese and everything and things like that. The Bears taking the Notre Dame coach in Marcus Freeman.
Right.
And now the Bears taking the Steelers coach in Mike Tomlin.
The parallels between what McCarthy and Tomlin and Sean Payton have been are there. The guys that won a title. Been a while since they won a title. And you look, they're good. You know they're good. But will they ever be great? These are questions, right?
They are questions. But I thought that overall, what the weekend reminded you of and should remind you of is the need for the next offensive mind of the Bears, be it an offensive head coach or an offensive coordinator, to understand that you must run the ball. And as we'll talk about at 5 o'clock, I think it's even more important because your quarterback is good and I think could be great, but he can't run it like Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson or Jaden Daniels.
He's not really built to run it like those guys.
No, he is not. He is not.
But I do think he could run it like vintage Russ, and I think that ends up being good because I think he's a better thrower of the football than Russ. But I digress. Why don't we find out what's going on with one of Spiegs' favorite candidates for Bears head coach and what is probably going to be a bizarre scene tonight for this final wild card game that's going to be played in Arizona. Pete Bursich is going to join us to discuss all of those things next on The Score.